Welcome to Vision Extra, coming to you from Vision Australia Radio. Peter Greco with you. And with us is Nadia Matiazzo from the Dog Guide Handlers Australia. How are you, Nadia?
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Things are getting ready now for your conference coming up later on this year?
Yep, our biennial conference yet again has come up so quickly. It hasn't been 2 years, surely.
Now, you've set a date and also a venue?
Yep, Saturday the 10th. And Sunday the 11th of November at the Brighton, the Novotel Brighton Beach Hotel in Brighton Le Sands, New South Wales.
Sounds a little bit Swiss.
Sounds a bit posh, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So you've moved around a bit, haven't you? Because I know you had one in Adelaide a couple of so years ago. And
yeah, we've had two in Adelaide, and we just thought we'd change venue to... to include all of, we'll try and have them across Australia. So Sydney was the next choice.
So this is only the third one. So in a sense, it's a fairly new thing to be happening, but the idea is obviously very sound.
Yeah, the feedback is that people gain a lot of benefit from, the peer interaction with other dog guide handlers and just learning about what's happening, what's new, what's working, what's not working, hear people's opinions about things, items, topics like the NDIS, new developments in training of dog guides, things like that. So it's a really good opportunity.
Now, you've got a draft program, or is it pretty much bedded down? Because certainly looking at the website, there's quite a bit of interesting stuff that's going to be happening.
Yeah, we do have, it's draft program at this stage. We're still confirming, but we have Kwa Cheng Hock, who is... some people might know him. He's been involved with World Blind Union. He's the person who travels from Singapore to Australia very regularly, and he's going to do the keynote address about setting up a dog guide school in Singapore. And that, I'm sure, was quite a challenging undertaking. So we've got that. We have Tellington Touch, which is a type of touch therapy that you can perform on your dog. We actually did it at the last conference, and I think all the dogs flaked it after the session because they were so
chilled?
So zen like.
Okay, so is it an easy thing to learn to do?
Yeah, it's just touching particular pressure points around the dog's neck and head, and it's really useful for when the dog is in a stressful situation. Also, when you're in a stressful situation and you might be projecting stress onto the dog. Mm. So it's kind of all about de-stressing you and also de-stressing the dog.
Having never had a guide dog, I'm sure it is the sort of thing that the dogs would pick up, particularly if you have a great relationship with your dog. It'd be the sort of thing that if you're in an anxious state, the dog would pick up on something like that.
Absolutely, and it's happened with me with pretty much every dog I've had. I've had to, if I've been in a stressful situation, I have to think, stop stressing, the dog will stress, and then we'll all be in a mess.
Now, you talked about the NDIS, of course, 2 years on since the last one, so a lot more of Australia has had the NDIS rolled out into it or into those geographical areas. And
yep.
Like a lot of things with the NDIS, it depends on who you speak to as to what they think of it as impacting upon them or their dog guide, etc.
Absolutely, and we'll have a panel of guests in that session that actually are people who have experienced or had experience transitioning to the NDIS with their dog or getting a dog on the NDIS. So that'll be really useful for people like me who are coming up to be rolled out onto the NDIS and have no idea what I should be doing.
Because, that seems to be one of the things. I think, in a sense, the take-home message before anyone joins the NDIS is do as much research, get as much information as you can so you can be well-armed when you have those interviews.
Absolutely, because I think the person, often the planners are not entirely aware of what a vision-impaired or blind person's needs are in relation to a dog guide and what the upkeep costs for having a dog guide is, all of that kind of stuff. So they've got to be across a lot of disabilities. So, you know, to be forearmed is forewarned. Is that what they say?
Or to be forewarned is, I'm not sure which one way it is. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. So before you're four. What about as far as aids go for orientation and mobility now? They seem to be being rolled out in different forms. Is that going to be covered as well?
Yeah, we're doing a session. One of the sessions is about upcoming technological developments in terms of dog guide training, and that includes things like possibly using GPS and things like IRA along with your, is that how you say it? Along
yeah,
with
IRA,
your dog
I think,
guide.
Yeah.
You know, how all of that technology builds into a better experience in terms of mobility. Whilst the dog is great, clearly the dog can't read, which I find really disappointing.
Not yet,
and,
anyway.
You know, having other technological options to aid your mobility and your travel experience, I think, is always good. We're also doing another a session on international travel with your dog guide. Some of us have done some travel recently, both overseas to other countries and on a cruise ship. So we'll be having discussions about how that all goes and what to do. So there's quite a lot of information.
For sure. But what about that international travel? Because I guess, again, you know, in 2018, people are much more mobile than they might have once been, maybe a little bit more adventurous in terms of maybe having a go. So that could be very relevant to a lot of people who might be planning or thinking about planning a trip overseas.
Absolutely. And we've got our Vice President, Kevin Murphy, actually went to South Africa for, I think it was 6 to 8 months, working there, and he took his dog with him, so we're going to have his perspective. We're also hopefully going to have Kwa Cheng Hock talk about, because he travels quite regularly from Singapore to Australia with a dog, so how somebody does that regularly. And then I'm going to talk about my cruise around New Zealand with a dog.
Okay.
On a ship.
How did that go?
Great. A lot of paperwork to, like, you had to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, and you actually had to export your dog from Australia to New Zealand, import the dog into New Zealand, export the dog from New Zealand, and then import it back into Australia. So there are four processes. Sounds quite difficult, but once you've actually got the paperwork done, it's not too bad. It's just getting everything in line.
Okay. What about as far as, vaccinations or that sort of stuff? Does any of that have to happen?
Really good, because New Zealand is pretty much similar to us in terms of diseases and things like that. So as long as you go to an appropriately accredited vet, which you can find on government website, they will know what the dog needs. And the dog, I think, has to be checked 14 days beforehand, and then 2 or 3 days beforehand, and paperwork needs to then go to exports, and you have to get that signed. But there's not much in terms of huge injection costs.
Okay.
For travelling just to New Zealand. Mm.
And how did your dog pull up, particularly after the to and from? How
Fight.
Were you together afterwards?
We actually landed back in Australia on the Wednesday, and I went back to work on the Thursday. Apart from the fact that she was exhausted, because obviously being on a cruise ship, you were using the dog a lot more than you would be using the dog if you were just going to and from work, because clearly, you know, you get up in the morning, you go to breakfast, you do stuff, you go to bed at maybe 10, 11 o'clock at night. So the dog is doing a fairly hefty day of work.
Well,
she was tired, but she coped.
Well, those ships are pretty big, aren't they? And, you know, you can do a lot of walking on them without realising how far you're walking as well, can't you?
Yep.
Now, another great highlight, I think, of the Dog Guide Handlers conference that you have is an award that you give out.
Yes, the Judith Killen Golden Harness Award. I can't say who's going to receive that this year, but we will be. It'll be somebody deserving. I'm sure.
Okay. So is that by nomination, or did the committee come up with?
The committee comes up with a person, but if anyone wishes to nominate a particular person, certainly you could email DGHA at DGHA.org www.ray.org.au, and we'll take that into consideration.
Now, Ray Joyce won it last time, and he, I think he had about 50 years worth of work in the orientation and mobility area, and he was absolutely delighted. I had the privilege to interview him afterwards, and he was really choked up and stoked about the fact that that he'd won it. So that was a very deserving winner.
I think it's kind of nice that, you know, he might get accolades from an organisational perspective and from other organisations and from other trainers and instructors, but to actually get an accolade from the people who actually benefited from the work that you do, I think for me personally, if that was me, I'd be stoked.
Well, I know that actually emails went out about the fact that he was on the program, and a number of people contacted him having heard him on the program, which I think he was equally pleased about the fact that, you know, people that might have seen him 30, 40 years ago remembered him and wanted to just say hello and catch up with him. So that was great.
Exactly. So it's created a whole heap of dialogue for him, hasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the dates, the 10th and the 11th of November, a Saturday and Sunday in Sydney. Are people able to book now, or where will booking go?
Registrations are open. If you go to dgha.org.au, you will find on that front page, you will find registration details. It's all done online. Take note, there is a code that you have to use when booking accommodation. You're responsible for booking your own accommodation.
Yep.
The conference cost is $250 for the weekend, and then there are obviously different rates for one day, and there will be a dinner, and there's a rate specifically for the dinner. You need to book your own room. There is a code that you need to quote, so just take note of that from the website to get appropriate discounts on your accommodation. And I hope to see as many people there as possible and their puppies.
Okay. And regarding the committee, might that change? I'm assuming you have an annual general meeting as well.
Yep. Sunday morning's the annual general meeting. It'll be my second year as president, so I will be contemplating what I'm doing, maybe re-nominating, maybe stepping down. So there'll be some committee positions open, so if people are interested in joining the committee, please email us and let us know if you're not going to come to the conference, and we can look at how we put your nomination forward.
Okay. It's a good idea.
Or come to the AGM.
Yeah, well. You've got a very good committee in terms of you know, their advocacy skills. I mean, they're all very well known in the blindness, vision impaired community. So I think you're a formidable force in terms of the advocacy skills that you've got amongst you and between you.
Thanks. Really appreciate that comment. We do. We have hundreds of years of advocacy experience probably amongst us all.
Well, you were very young when you started, though, Nadia. That's how you clocked up your years.
I probably advocated from the time I could scream.
Yeah, you probably screamed before you spoke, or maybe not.
I suspect I might.
Nadia, great. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. We look forward to hearing more about it, but put those dates in your diary and just give us that website again. People can go there and either email any questions they've got, or book online, or just read about the very interesting and exciting sounding draft program.
So the email address is dgha@dgha.org.au, and the website is dgha.org.au.
Brilliant. Nadia, good luck. We'll keep in touch, and I hope it's a very successful third DGHA conference.
Thanks, Peter.
That's Nadia Matiatsai, the president at the moment of the Dog Guide Handlers Association of Australia. dgha.org.au is their web address. That is it for the program. If you've missed some of it, maybe you'd like to hear it again, you can go to our website, www.varadio.org/podcasts. The program to look for is Vision Extra. That's the name of this one, back on this radio station at the same time next week.